Welcome to Mint's podcast on the Union Budget 2017. We have with us a team of experts from Mint, R. Sukumar, Anil Padmanabhan and Monica Hallan discussing the Union Budget and what it means for the common man.
Monica, first thoughts on the budget.
Work in progress budget, very good housekeeping. There's been a lot where the finance minister has put things which were out of line into place. For instance, bringing ahead the date of the budget, plan and non-plan expenditure getting collapsed, collapsing the railway budget into the general budget. And when you look at the specific proposals, there are a lot of small announcements which gives you the impression that it is work in progress. They're working to a plan. And this is a government which has a larger picture and they're working towards it. So this is my first impression.
Anil, what's yours?
I would just tag on to what Monica just said. I'll slightly more forwardish spin. This is actually readying India for a kind of future scenario. And in that, the key step is towards a market-based, rules-based regime. So whichever way you look at the farmers, they're looking to integrate them into the marketplace through expanding crop insurance, expanding e-market, and now introducing commodity derivatives. Of course, that's a work in progress, but that's there. And then the larger message, subtext of this entire thing to less cash, etc., is the formal economy is getting greater play. I don't think any budget since modern India has ever done so much to move the country to a market-based economy. So there is an implicit ideological shift from a government whose primary lexicon is pro-poor, pro-disenfranchised. So that to me is a big take.
Great. See, while the big picture is all fine, and clearly there's a strategy, right? And we've seen that in this government. All their budget documents, even the ones that have been criticized, clearly indicate that there's a bigger picture. They have a sense of where they want the country to go. And broadly speaking, there are two or three of the things that you mentioned, right? One is this whole modernization and formalization of the economy. The second one is the move to a rules-based regime. Right, I mean, to remove discretion and to move to a rules-based regime. And the third one is to simplify doing business in this country. Where this budget, for instance, makes a mention of labor reforms. So the big picture, I think, is fine. But I think the interesting thing about this budget was that it was presented at a time when what the country also needed and what many people also needed was a boost of confidence, right? I mean, the sentiment was low. Do you think that's been achieved, Anil?
Oh, absolutely. I should have said upfront, you have summed it up well. It's a feel-good economy, feel-good budget. No matter whichever way you look at it, it's very tough to criticize it because he has taken care of managing sentiment beautifully. And it's a continuity of the initiative, the political initiative, they grabbed with demonetization. With demonetization, they grabbed the center stage on anti-corruption, good governance. And now this, by shifting to a rules-based regime, but at the same time taking care of protecting the honest in this country. For example, taxes. What have they done? They have targeted the rich, taxed the rich and rewarded the honest. So, which is again a singular message. I totally agree with you. It's a feel-good budget.
What do you think, Monica? It's done enough for confidence?
I think so. He sort of looked after the pieces in the economy which were hurting. For instance, the shopkeepers, the small businessmen. I mean, after demonetization, they were hurting the most. So reducing the taxation at 225% of entities with turnover of less than 50 crore is a step in the right direction. And he has said specifically that there'll be no scrutiny of first-time people who are filing taxes unless there is reason to do that. So he's reaching out to them and saying, look, I know you guys got hurt, but here is an incentive to come on to the tax platform and we'll give you lower rates, yeah.
The markets are clearly up.
Yes.
And we shouldn't judge anything based on how the market is reacting to it. But I just want your sense. Why do you think the markets are up? Anil?
Markets, if you saw the entire market movement during the speech beginning at 11:50. Exactly. You know, it went up, yeah. Basically, the trend line was flat. And but towards the end, when the tax proposals started coming in, I think the waiver to FPIs was one big thing where he sneaked it in. And that's given for institutional investors, it's a big thing. Then what Monica said, the tweaks that he did on the tax side of the personal income tax side. And they suddenly got a sense that, I think one of us mentioned it previously in our editorial conversation, that the first thing he has done is there's no bad news. you know. And the market realized when he was winding up his speech that there was genuinely no bad news, and there was on top of that good news too, and which is why I suspect the market spiked.
The markets are also reacting to the government staying on the fiscal consolidation path. I mean, to keep your fiscal deficit at a time like this when the whole world seems to be imploding for the next year's target is 3, which is the FRBM target. So fiscal consolidation for a country like India, and the fact that inflation has got tamed, I think if the market is taking a more macro view, it's also reacting to that. And also that, like you said, there's been no particular bad news. You've taxed the rich a little bit more. No one's really hurting on that. And you've given the sops to people who are earning less, between 2.5 lakh to 5 lakh. You've given money away there. So you've sort of balanced your budget, and you've done the right thing. So I think markets are reacting to, like I said, it's a good housekeeping budget where you've kept your house clean. It's that.
Okay, I'm going to take a question now. We've got a question on senior citizens and whether they'll have to pay tax at 5% now next year.
I think the limits have remained the same. So there's been no change made as to the limits for taxation for a senior citizen. They get an 8% return annuity from the Life Insurance Corporation, from LIC, on their pension corpus, which is assured at 8% for a period of 10 years. And we are still to know if there is a certain limit on how much they can invest, because earlier in the first tranche, there was a limit. We don't know if that limit still exists. But in terms of what they pay as tax, I don't think there's been any change.
Yeah, I think if someone was paying no tax previously, they'll probably
pay no tax.
My own understanding of what's happened at that level is that if someone plans very smartly, given the fact that it's gone down to 5%, if they take care of all the schemes that are on offer, they'd probably save quite a bit on their tax outgo.
Correct.
And I was just looking at some numbers of the 70-odd million taxpayers, right? 70-odd million taxpayers, 19 million fall in this range. So that's clearly the sweet spot in terms of numbers. So what the finance minister has done in this budget will actually benefit the maximum number of taxpayers. So I think it's a good move from that perspective. There is some lack of clarity, Monica, on the long-term capital gains tax.
Whatever I understand,
this is on securities.
Budget,
this is on securities.
So there has been no change. So there was a lot of fear factor on the government introducing a long-term capital gains tax on equity, which is right now zero. But that has not happened. So possibly the markets are up because there is
But the redefinition of long-term from three years to two for real estate.
Yeah. So if you have real estate investments, then if you sold earlier before 3 years, then you paid what is called a short-term capital gains tax. And if you held it for 3 years or more, you paid long-term.
And now that's become two.
That has become 2 years. Also, what they have done is that up to 50 lakh of profit, you could invest into bonds of NHAI and REC and get a tax-free status on your capital gains. These bonds were not introduced very often. So they are saying we'll open up more avenues where you can put your gains and go to a zero tax status on your capital gain. But I just want to quickly just say one more thing, that it's a lucky person who's sitting on capital gains on real estate today.
On real estate, that's right.
Where you have to have held it for 10 years or more to be showing a profit. So it's a very smart move. I mean, you're not going to lose anything because there aren't any gains to show right now.
I think one thing we missed in our opening statements, or all three of us made, is the electoral funding reform.
Yeah.
I think politically, the messaging has been spot on by this government. After demonetization, they said that this is just one measure. It has to be followed up with other alternatives. And increasingly, there was a cry from outside the political class saying that you are the root of the corruption and you need to fix it there. So I think it's very brave for this government to come in and talk of electoral funding reform, no?
No, I agree. And I think it's, even if it remains just talk, the fact that it's out there, it's significant enough
and it shouldn't, because they seem to have thought about it. The minute he's mentioning something like an electoral bond,
that's right,
which, you know, he's thought about it. It's not that he's just talking for the sake of the cameras, but those bonds will actually have to come to the market.
I think it makes sense, and I think this is a larger part of not just electoral funding reform, but also electoral reform itself. right? I mean, one of the big problems in this country is the fact that you have elections somewhere every year. And enough people have commented on how this is not particularly conducive to good policy making, which is true. So I think any effort to that direction should be welcomed. I'm going to ask you an obvious question, Monica, which some of the people are also asking on Facebook, which is why has the tax been reduced only in one slap? Well, should it not have been done across the board?
So as a finance minister, he's got to balance his books and he's got to find the money if he's going to give a tax relief to one part. And again, politically, it is very hard to attack him on taxing someone who's earning more than 50 lakh a year. We are still a very poor country. There are, if you're making 50 lakh a year, you obviously belong to the top
1%. No, I agree.
I mean, you know, somebody has to pay. Finally, somebody has to pay. If we can get people who don't pay today into the tax net, if those people come on, then we will see taxes overall for everybody.
And that I think is something that this whole demonetization, formalization will help.
I mean, that is going to be the number to watch for. So whether demonetization has succeeded or failed, we need to watch the number on tax compliance. That's the number.
And in fact, I remember, Anil, we had this chat before the budget when we expected something on tax. And when I asked you whether there would be these kind of cuts across the thing, you said it would be bad optics.
In fact, that's a big thing in this budget. It's good optics, which is what he said, feel-good budget. Also, just to add to what Monica is saying, the FM is probably being driven by the principle of equity. You know, we are just recovering from a heavy bout of inflation over the last 4 years. It's just that last year onward, we started decelerating. So the income in hand of people because of inflation was substantially reduced. So, and it is the lowest which hurt the most. Even demonetization, we know the fallout has been on the lowest slab. I mean, he's not said this in his speech, but we are making our interpretations, and I would just throw it there that the principle of equity also probably drove the finance minister. And like Monica said, nobody can quarrel with him by doing something for the least privileged.
Sure. Okay, I'm going to try and take a slightly macro picture, which is also based on some of the questions that are coming in. People are obviously very keen to know what's in it for them, which is understandable. But if we just step back and we go back in time, let's say to the golden years of the Indian economy between 2004 and 2008, at that point in time, everyone did well. Car sales increased, salaries increased significantly by double-digit rates almost every year, not because something happened in the budget, but because growth was happening. So has this budget done enough for growth? Because if it does enough for growth, I think everything else will work out.
You see, the 2004-2008, we should understand, happened on the tailwind of a massive global economic boom.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so which is completely missing beginning 2009 in the Indian macroeconomic lexicon. It's gone. We are talking of flat growth. There might be a recovery this year, but China is in deep trouble. The US is just recovering. Europe, we know. So that tailwind, if you take out of our growth process, the residue of that is what we have been facing the last 4 years. That capital investment in this Indian economy, where private investment has dried up completely. And it has a lot to do with this rise of crony capitalism, bad governance, and which, you know, the NPA, bad debt problem. So I don't think any one budget could have dealt a magic wand to this. But definitely what they're doing is, by putting the thrust on agriculture, on value-added agriculture, putting the thrust on SME space, putting the thrust on entrepreneurs, you know, lending more focus to stand-up, that whole disempowered class of Dalits, SCs, STs and women. And he's stoking a more larger base of stakeholders in the new growth process. So you may not see a big surge in growth, but you'll probably see a more shared growth going forward with this budget.
It always looked in 2008, 2009, in those years, those go-go years, that we were overheating.
I agree entirely.
We were just, so the roots were not very strong. With this kind of a sort of incremental budget after budget, and also, again, I keep saying, staying fiscally prudent. I think you're really building the foundation for sustained year-on-year growth, where you are not really squandering the gains of the previous 2-3 years into SOPs, which you are financing out of deficit.
That's true. One of the things that many people expected in this budget, I mean, no matter whether it belonged there or not, was some mention of the numbers to do with demonetization, right? How much money came back, what is the surplus, and what is likely to be done with the surplus. And even ahead of the budget, we saw a few media reports speak of this. The Economic Survey made a mention of the surplus and the kind of windfall benefits that it would be able to fund in some way. That wasn't there, right? But at another level, I think this budget has done enough to look to address at least some of the flow issues with black money.
See, the numbers not being there is not surprising because they're still doing the math, because there seems to be some kind of confusion around how much of money came in or not. The Reserve Bank of India has gone on record saying, or some double count issue. So that, not a surprise in guessing, but even if they had shared the numbers, I think we all know that most of the money did get laundered back. I think we're living in denial if we think that the earlier estimates were upheld. They weren't. Right. So that part of demonetization failed. I mean, how miserably it failed, we'll know when the numbers come in. Right. But this budget definitely takes forward the demonetization argument, because the finance minister particularly devoted several minutes and paras defending demonetization, laying out the virtues, and used that foundation to argue, move the economy to a rules-based regime. If you notice, he kept saying, you know, this rewarded the honest, I realized how honest. Then also the disclosure of number of income tax players. He's not being tongue-in-cheek when he said, you know, you have more cars in this country than you of very rich high-end cars than you have of taxpayers in this country. I mean, so he's demonetization has echoed very much, but in a different format, he has taken it forward.
Right, and I'm not willing to write off demonetization right now. So there's a lot of rhetoric about, oh, it's failed spectacularly. But let's just wait. Let's look at several numbers which come out. Let's look at tax compliance, for instance, in the next, the advanced tax numbers in the next four quarters. Let's also look at the mismatch between your income declared and the amount of money in your bank accounts. And if the government is able to use big data and say, look, you say you are zero tax status, but you have a luxury SUV, you traveled abroad and you went first class and you spent so much, and your spouse bought jewelry worth X.
Correct. And your bank account, deposited
correct.
So much.
Yeah, you know, why, if they can do all of that and then have some sort of very visible reactions to that, then we may actually say that demonetization, it actually did work.
When I said it failed spectacularly, is the money which the government had assumed will not be returned to the system. That has not happened.
That's right.
I think
correct.
We all know anecdotally, correct. We even done stories, it's very successfully laundered. And you're right.
Yeah.
Now the plan B is in operation. Like the FM said, by putting the money in the formal system, you have not legalized it.
Right.
That
correct.
Absolutely the last word is definitely
and
not.
And I also think what it has done is in the kind of fillip it's given to digital transactions, and there is enough in this budget also to stimulate various aspects of this whole digital economy. I think that will increase the size of the formal economy, at least some element. Like, for instance, this rule that says 3 lakh cash payment.
Correct.
We all know that a lot of MSMEs, their entire supply chain is cash-based. But now there is a huge disincentive for them to do cash transactions for more than 3 lakhs. I mean, they can't do it. There's no way in which they can do it. Sure, they can break it down into 2,99,000, as you mentioned in a tweet. But, you know, the fact is the walls have just gotten so much higher. And I think that formalization has begun to happen at this point in time. Looking at another issue, and you briefly mentioned this, Anil, which is one of the factors that kept coming up in the run-up to this budget, and this obviously came up when the last quarter's GDP numbers came out, and it became clear that fixed cross capital formation had really turned negative, right? Which is entirely understandable given what's happening. Has the budget done enough to revive private investment?
Not the kind that we have been used to. That's what I was saying, that investment will revive, but not big ticket investments, I don't see. Unless the foreign investment route, which very much possible, because the abolishing of FIPB is a clear signal to foreign investors that red tape in India is history. And you will be treated on merit as to how you bring in and what you bring in. But I don't see the yesteryear capital investment picking up immediately. It will take time, but yes, small level investments, MSME, they are not to be wished away. I think little drops of water, you know, make the ocean. So they are serious, but they are not going to be big ticket. Just in a way, second good news is they may not have good credit history because they have never operated in the formal system. But their integration, like you said, into the formal economy will also get them benefits realized and contribute in a way not to the kind of pickup in capital investment, but the quality of capital investment will change.
Well, that will make a huge difference. Okay, closing thoughts, Monica.
As I said, it's work in progress. There's one more step towards a good, solid, fundamental, rules-based economy, as you said. I think it's all good.
Anil?
Same, I just like to close with what I opened with. This is a feel-good budget. It's a definite and a step towards a formal rules-based regime. And once again, I'd like to reiterate that this is the first government in modern India which has shown the political courage to embrace market reforms in such an open and transparent manner.
On that note, thank you.